Ladies and gentlemen, start your questions. Taking a note from the Grand Prix, which is going on in Belle Isle, we have an opportunity for you to ask whatever the question may be about your computer, about your cell phone, about your printer, about whatever else electronic is giving you fits. We got some folks in studio here just dying to answer your questions. The number is 800-859-0957. And the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. And by the way, I wanted to make sure that I thank Mike Stets, our engineer and producer for the last program, the last hour of our program, rather. And now taking over the stands here is Danielle Mason. Thank you very much, Danielle, for being there. And that's the friendly voice that will greet you when you call 800-859-0957. If you happen to be, just kind of motoring by and you hear that number being given, wonder what this is all about, that's the number that connects you with the technical experts we have in studio here. Many, many years of experience. Cal Carson and Ed Rudell. I just have experience making problems that other people solve.
We had a couple people stump us last week when we just really just, yes. We just could not figure out what was going on.
But remember, call early. Call often. Call early. Call off. Hey, what number should they call?
800-859-0957.
So how did the Mac Group show go last week?
It went wonderfully fine. We talked about password and security and how to create really secure and good passwords. Dave McGuire did a presentation on that, and it was really great. It sparked a lot of lively conversation and a lot of discussion. I think a lot of people walked out thinking, maybe it's time for us to change our passwords.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if they have their passwords saved in one login.
Yeah.
But the passwords of the people weren't stolen from one login, just some customer data like their name and stuff. So their passwords are still safe, but some information about the user base of one login has been breached.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that? I'm glad you mentioned that, Ed, because Kevin Chamoun, who was with us from Zeemster this last hour, was talking about that just before he left the studio. They're, of course, involved in security. It's very important.
Yep.
But he was talking about, for instance, like with the Target breach, that it was, there was this millions of...
Yeah, it was right before Christmas, 2 years ago.
Have been taken. And he said when they dug all the way down to it, there were maybe only thousands of pieces of information that were stolen, not millions.
Right. And it wasn't even Target. It was whoever Target was paying to secure their data was breached. Not Target, so.
What was that word that they wanted to use?
It wasn't breached. Instead of breached, it was like an incident or no.
Yes, a security incident.
Security incident.
Security incident. That's great, because I think the breach thing really was probably more from the media.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, hey,
far more colorful.
Well, a breach is what happens when... papers and the whole shooting match.
A breach is what happens when I'm wearing my tight jeans and I bend over and they rip. Okay, that's a breach.
No, that's a bust.
Oh.
That's an explosion in some cases.
And I don't wear tight man jeans. I know. I'm sorry. I save that for my
minor kids. Stretchy. You got it?
Thank God.
A last old
radio
man,
and not
jeans.
Television.
Okay. I'm sorry for that visual, folks.
Okay. All right. The number last week, we were already loaded up with all sorts of questions, and I hope that you'll take advantage of that, folks, again this week to get in early with your questions. Let's us get at them quickly and start encouraging other people to call in with their questions as well. The number, 800-859-0957.
Dare I talk about what's going to happen this week?
Oh, dare you indeed.
Well, I love the speculation machine because it's like gone crazy. I was watching Bloomberg News.
It's like a wish list.
Yeah.
Almost.
It is.
And Apple should really capture that and incorporate some of that in their next gen stuff.
And the scary part about it is that everyone will speculate, the new iPhone 8 coming out, it'll have a toaster in the back of it and this sort of thing. And then 10 minutes after WWDC is over, they're already speculating on iPhone 9.
I know.
It's like, this is nuts.
Or we're disappointed that X didn't happen. I was like, oh, please.
Yeah. It's like, well, if you're disappointed, just don't buy the phone. Go buy something else.
You don't like your rose-covered cases? Come on. So what is some of the stuff?
Some of the speculation, and all this is speculation because none of us knows what the heck's going on. But the thought pattern is such that iOS 11 should be announced.
Because this is a software rollout,
This would be a software rollout for all the iOS devices.
For the WDC or whatever it's called, right?
During the Worldwide Developers Conference for
WDC,
Apple.
Okay. Yeah.
WWDC.
Starts
on Monday.
That's not a wrestling organization.
This is correct. This is correct. So they'll have the keynote on Monday. And they'll talk about, I guess, whatever they want to talk about in that particular case. The speculation is iOS 11 should be some announcements in it, some of it being major in the sense that it hasn't really been revamped much since probably iOS 7 or 8. So we're looking for a brand new interface and some new things on that particular front.
That's the operating system for the MacBooks?
That would be the operating system for the phone and operating system for the iPads.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. And then the Mac OS update.
Correct.
Is the one that's for the laptops. Okay.
That would be for the laptops, the desktops, and the Mac Mini and that sort of thing. They figured there'll be some more talk about that coming too as well because it's a developers conference, obviously. So they would talk about the new things that are going to be going on with that new operating system and what the developers can create and build into that as well. More integration with the iOS is expected in the Mac OS on the laptops. So they talk, you know, seamlessly more together than they do now.
So will we be able to use, and forgive me, but will we be able to use the App Store on our Mac OS?
You actually do use the App Store on Mac OS already.
Yes, okay.
And that goes out and it pulls apps for the Mac operating system.
Okay.
Where if you go out to the App Store with a iOS device, it would pull stuff for the iOS operating system in that particular case. Apple TV, if they upgrade the OS for the phones and for the tablets, chances are the TV will also get some.
Wasn't there a big deal that they just announced that Apple TV just got some major...
Amazon, I think, is what they're looking for.
Oh, that's... Yeah,
well, there's some TV, Amazon integrations coming in with that, but I think Apple also bought CarPlay Karaoke as a show that they're going to be offering on Apple TV on a regular basis, too.
Okay. Hey, we're going to come back after the break, and we'll talk a little more about the WWDC coming up on Monday. But we'd also like to have you call us with your concerns. Thank you for being here for the hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that is the time. You set the scene, folks. You know, you really tell us, you program this hour with your questions, and we are delighted to have that happen. We'll do our very best to dig into something and get some answers for you. As Ed mentioned last week, we had some real... They crossed our eyes a couple of times in order to try to get a handle on what the problems were, but we'll take a crack at it. And
a couple people called back and said that worked.
Yep.
That was wonderful. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Or email us back at internetadvisor.net and let us know if it has worked or not worked. We're more than happy to keep on pursuing answers to your questions. Randy is with us from Auburn Hills. Randy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you?
Well, I first like to say I really appreciate the show and the gentleman that did the cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna write a book?
Oh, we should ask Gary. I'm sure he's got. Gary has got more stories from both the tech world and that trip, and he's got more to come. By the way, he's just begun to write the chapters.
Yes, I'm blind, and I'm in the process of. Getting a new laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a couple of quick questions. And
sure.
Far as the Apple products, I know that the iPhones, they're using iPhones for the blind and deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Do they provide the same type of ability to use the laptops in the Apple products?
For the blind and the deaf? Or, well, for people who are physically challenged, I would imagine, period.
Well, for blind, there's a program that I use. It's called JAWS.
Yeah, JAWS, and there's Dragon Speaking, I think, isn't it?
That's an old product, Dragon. No, JAWS, and I can't remember what the other product was called.
Yeah, Randy, what is it? There's another one out there, too, isn't there, Randy, besides JAWS?
I'm just familiar with the JAWS.
Okay.
I think it's called EYES, isn't it?
I forget. The one that you've got, Randy, is a screen reader, right?
Yes.
That's just for the sake of the people who may not be familiar with it, but it is a very well-known one. Okay, good. So your question is, how good are the Apple, for instance, laptops at using JAWS?
Correct.
Okay. Cal, what's your thoughts?
they should be just as good as the desktops are at doing it, because it's the same operating system and everything. It's just a matter of it's on a different platform as far as the actual medium and stuff like that, but it should work just as well. If you get a decent enough laptop that has enough processing power and stuff like that and enough memory, you should be fine with it.
Yeah.
Even it's a Microsoft product formatted for Microsoft.
It's made well in that particular case. You could go the other way. You would go is that you would load either Parallels or VMware on the Mac, and then load the Windows operating system within that software, and then you could run it on a Mac if you wanted to. But if you're going through all those sort of changes, in my particular opinion, I think you might be better served just using a Windows machine to do that with.
The question. I mean, is JAWS even compatible, or do they make a version for the Mac?
You know, that's a good question, because I don't think I've ever seen JAWS for the Mac, but one of the best ways to find out is just to go to JAWS themselves and just ask them if they do.
You know, I'm looking at, I just went and Googled this, and I'm seeing a YouTube video that says how to install and configure JAWS on a Mac in a VM. In a virtual machine.
Yeah, so that's sort of.
So they don't write it for the Mac is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I had another question. I lost the original discs for the JAWS, and I'm registered as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Am I entitled through JAWS to be able to get replacement discs? Loaded onto a new machine?
I'm sure they would probably give you replacement discs. The only caveat I think that would go along with that would be, one, how old is your version as compared to what they have currently out? And number two, they'll charge you probably for the media and the mailing of such. In other words, maybe $10 or something like that. But for the most part, I can't see why they wouldn't let you allow you to do that. And it might even be easier than that. They may just allow you just to download it directly from the internet back onto your machine, and you'll have it quicker.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to put a call out here to Ted Lennox and Ted Lennox, who's a great friend of ours, who's been on the air with us a number of times. And there's also some folks up in Port Huron who are blind, and that maybe they can call in with some insights into this. Because I think I know that radio has forever been the friend of the blind, which I love.
Yeah.
And I love, being part of that. And WJR as one of the legendary stations in the country, as an AM legacy station, has been a big part of that. And so I'm going to see if any of the guys out there, gals who are blind, can help us with some insight into this. And you folks, by the way, can call 800-859-0957 as well and give us some of your insights.
It opens up a whole new world for blind people for being able to. It really is. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, and they've also made quite a bit. Let's see, an improvement, I'd say, over the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
As far as interpreting websites, which is not an easy task. So when you're navigating a website, that can be very difficult for us. With the sighted, when we look at there, we can look at the bolded text and the highlight. An e-reader may decide to actually read the ads first, as opposed to, and then that could just frustrate someone that's trying to navigate the internet. They've come quite a ways.
Do you know what version of JAWS that you have currently?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, because JAWS 18.0 is available out on their website, and you can just download it again from there. And then whatever license number that you have, you can use that when you do the reinstall.
Cool. You guys are fantastic. Thank you again. And you are so right, Mr. Foster, in the regards of the AM radio. It's a lifeline. It really is.
I know.
Thank you.
And it's an honor, to be very honest with you, it's an honor to be able to serve you and the other members of the blind community. Thanks so much for giving us a call, Randy. And by the way, again, if you have some insights into this, because we know that there are a lot of listeners out there who are blind and have found marvelous ways of using the technology. I'll never forget, Ted Lennox came in here one time, and he had a young man with him that he had taught. Used to use some of this software. Remember that? He came in with all sorts of equipment. It's just absolutely fascinating.
It's fascinating. So, they has that mechanical braille, which he can actually surf the internet with, and interactively, it actually raises and lowers a number of pins, and he's actually navigating a website on a and he's able to actually braille read the webpage.
We had a young man in too. I remember he had an iPhone, and he was using the iPhone surf in that. Remember that?
Yep.
You know, not just Dragon naturally speaking, but the Mac OS, you can actually turn it on where it will read back what's on the screen to you as well. And
I think Windows 10 does the same thing, I believe. Yeah.
So you can do it that way too as a inexpensive solution for doing
Because I imagine, I think JAWS is really expensive.
Yeah, it's up there. It's over 500 and less than 1,000, so it's up there.
But it's made by a company named Freedom Scientific. And if he goes to that website, he can download the software again. And as long as he's got his license number, I'm sure he'll be able to reinstall.
Oh, that's the product I was looking for. It was called Windows Eyes, and it was also made by Freedom Scientific.
Oh, really?
But they made an announcement that they're no longer supporting the product.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Why make two products, right?
Yeah, well, JAWS is the product that's worked so well. Our number again, 800-859-0957. Whatever you may have a question about, and I think it's kind of neat that Randy called with that question about software for the blind on the Mac. If you have some insights, please give us a call at that same number, 800-859-0957. We're going to continue with some speculation, if you will, about what's coming up at WWDC, which is the Worldwide Developers Conference, coming to San Jose. Am I right? San Jose, California, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that is correct.
And that's coming up on Monday. If you're interested, I love tuning into that and just kind of letting it run and watching. You'll listen to the keynote and then watching some of the other coverage.
There's goodness. I remember these guys I used to work with at the Rensen when we worked for EDS/HP. And he would, you know, Joe.
Yes.
And he would have that blaring in his cubicle. And I'm like, Joe, you're being paid by EDS/HP to do work. I'm listening to my Apple WWDC. And
oops.
And I need to keep up with this stuff.
It's important. It's important.
It is.
Stuff. Especially the fact that now the one thing that I'm really kind of excited about that they're rumoring about is the Siri smart speaker that they're talking about.
That we can talk about that when we come back. We also have some folks on the line right now, and we've got space for your question as well at 800-859-0957. Back in just a minute, thanks to Danielle Mason, who is answering the phones there. You'll hear her lovely voice when you call in, 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, 800-859-0957. I have been broadcasting for 40 years, and I still can't give you why some days we get lots of calls and some days we don't. Last weekend was a holiday weekend, and I thought, oh, we're not going to get anybody calling in. And we were jammed with calls. This weekend, we got just a very few calls coming in. We're going to be getting to them. Matter of fact, Jim will be with you in just a moment. But I just want to let you know, we've got phone lines open here, and people who are more than happy to pitch in and help you as best we can with your computer problems or with your digital devices. And the number, again, is 800-859-0957. And just a quick question.
Yeah, for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, for the next 30 minutes, roughly. We got that. Let's dive in. Say hello to Jim. Jim from Toledo, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Doing fine. Glad to talk with you, sir. What can we do for you?
Hey, I got a question for you. I'm of the age group. I'm a little too old to understand this, so help me out, please. We have, I've got two young men in my house that are gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a cable modem.
Okay.
And then it goes to a wireless router. And then, because the boys are gamers, we have and the house wasn't new when I bought it. So we pretty much have a 5E or Ethernet cable running up the stairs under the carpet to their room so they can have the high-speed internet. I'm running with a Linksys N-Series wireless router.
Okay.
Yep.
And I was going to have a company here in town like run 5E or 6E cable up through the walls, up in the attic and down for their rooms for the high speed, and get rid of that cable that's kind of an eyesore when it pops up above the steps. But
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
I've had a couple people tell me, don't even bother spending any money on that. Go to a mesh system.
Really?
Yeah, like Linksys and various others make this apparently mesh wireless thing, and they said that may be the way to go and save yourself the money running hard wires.
That's very interesting, guy.
Well, I'm not sure about. I mean, right now, it depends on what you're getting on the back end of your router. Usually, right. They only provide 100 megabit, and you're not even getting that. So the network connection that through the hardware is usually about 100 megabit, but your internet provider only usually provides you like 16 or 8 gigabyte or 16 gigabyte. So you're really not even using that. So the wire should be more than adequate. And the thing is, let's see. So if you were to use even your wireless right now, if you were just to use standard wireless, that supports, gigabit connection speeds.
Okay.
So, I mean, as long as they get a strong wireless signal up there, you're not going to max out the throughput provided by your internet service provider.
Okay.
I had
the one boy's computer is a PC. Everybody else is working on a Mac. So the son with a PC, if we did this mesh thing, he's going to have to get a wireless card for his computer. So I don't understand the whole system enough to.
Well, you could buy a wireless card. You could most laptops and even most desktop or all laptops, but most desktops now also ship with a wireless adapter in there, and you could buy a wireless USB adapter for a desktop computer for $20.
Okay.
And it plugs into the USB port. You don't even have to open the thing up, and it'll plug into the USB 3 or USB 3C.
No, ports. That wire they currently have running up the steps and that sort of thing. When it gets up to the top of the steps, what is it plugged into?
It's plugged into like a splitter. So another cable goes into one boy's bedroom, and another cable goes into the other boy's.
Okay, so both of them are running off of hardwire. Are they both using laptop computers, or are they using desktops, or what?
One's a laptop. The big gamer is on it. He's the one that's on a PC desktop.
Yeah, and I mean, why do they want to get faster speed? I mean, the thing is, gamers always want faster, and they think they're getting lag, and it may have nothing to do with your home network, because if they're hardwired now. That's not a big deal. So, I mean, they could take their computers, and if they plug it directly into the connection in the main floor, then if they're not getting an improvement, then the problem is with your internet service provider, right?
Okay.
Oh, I should just say that.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, don't we have a problem that the system slows down?
No. Oh, okay. No, not with hardwire. And then that's the reason why they probably want to be hardwired rather than doing it wirelessly. That way the system doesn't slow down with the slowest device that's
on it. Slowest device speed.
So I'm thinking it's probably a good idea to run a Cat 6 from wherever you're getting your internet in through the house. And then when you get upstairs to their room, put in a gigabit switch and then run Ethernet to each one of their rooms up there. That way they get a nice solid speed throughput all the way through. And then if that's not fast enough for them, then the problem is not with the network.
Well, I don't think it's the problem. I mean, but what about this mesh network? They do make wireless repeaters, but then again, and they can extend up there. And some of these wireless repeaters, they basically just plug into an electrical outlet in each of the kids' rooms, and then they can actually hardwire from that, or you'd have to buy another wireless device. I mean, there's so many different scenarios and options available, and it's not really a mesh network. It is basically, think of it as like wireless repeaters, so that signals.
I've posed that question to a couple in-the-know providers and stuff, and they said, well, maybe you don't need a repeater. Maybe you need a wireless hotspot. So,
yeah, and well, you already have one in the basement.
How much money are you looking to sink into this?
I'm figuring the wiring's probably going to run me a couple hundred bucks just to to hardwire up to both the boys' bedrooms.
How many paper routes do they have to do for them to pay for that? I mean,
I think you'd be better served if you're going to start spending that type of money. I think you'd be better served getting in contact with a local communications company that deals with computer networking in your area. Have them come out and do a estimate and a site survey of what you want done. And tell them, okay, this is what I'm trying to achieve, and this is where I want it to go, and have them take a look at that and then give you a bid for what that would cost. Because there's a bunch of different ways we can go, but without really knowing specifically all the ins and outs that we want to do, mm-hmm, you know, we could give you a solution, but is it the right solution for you? A professional that can do a site survey and really make an assessment of your internet service provider and what you want to get for your end product, yeah, would be a better deal.
Well, the also thing, he can call his internet service provider. It may be actually cheaper for him to rent another box, and the internet service provider will actually run another cable up to the upstairs.
That's another way of doing it too.
And it might be cheaper for you to rent that box from your ISP, your internet service provider. And
I got you.
Yeah, because that box that they put up there will have four ports on the back of it for Ethernet, and you can plug those guys into those four ports. You got a second box up there. It's a second dedicated network,
yeah,
and it should reduce a bunch of problems for you.
Yeah,
and
you can put it in the
cable provider will put it in for free because they'll run the cable for you.
Now, a question, by the way, Jim, while we still have you there. Guys, If you've got two sons or two kids in this particular case who are both active gamers and they're both banging away on Call of Duty or whatever else.
I'm sure they do some homework on there.
All right. Yeah. But if they're both...
Yeah. The older one's banging away in another way, but the younger one's a big gamer. So
okay. If they're online and they're using a lot of the bandwidth, they're stealing from one another, aren't they, guys?
No, it should work out pretty good just the way it is. The only thing, they'll be sharing the bandwidth coming to that box, but it won't be any less than what they're sharing right now.
Right
and
now,
if not,
yeah, okay,
they'll probably be sharing it better,
okay,
than they are currently.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. So it sounds.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't care which way this thing goes. I just want to get a clean look to the house where there's not,
sure,
a wire coming out of the wireless.
I think Ed's
idea is excellent.
Yeah.
I would go,
yeah,
that way. I'd say, look, I want a, yeah, second router in the house.
Or you could move your primary one up there and use one of the,
that's
and,
a good point.
And
yeah,
the satellite would be your main living room, because
well,
as you really.
That might be the case, too, because I don't game at all. I just.
Right.
Yeah, but
I
your receiver for
internet.
Your TV. Is probably downstairs for your whoever your cable provider is.
Yeah, but the cable provider will run the wire wherever the heck,
yeah,
he wants,
exactly,
it in the house.
Yeah, right.
And it won't cost them anymore.
Right. They could just say, I want this box relocated. It's, but I still need the TV downstairs working.
You know, Jim, let us know what you come up with this. I'm fascinated to find out what the solution is. Who's your cable provider down there in Toledo?
I live in Sylvania, Ohio, and there's only two providers. You got Buckeye Cable, which is owned by the local newspaper, which is what we've got at our home, and then Frontier is the other one.
I know Frontier.
Yeah, I'd have the cable provider come out and offer you a solution first.
Yep.
And if that solution looks like it makes sense, and it'll probably end up being a lot more economical than going to a network,
yep,
provider.
Yeah.
And I think that should work out really well for
you. Yeah, because you call your provider, and they're going to pay a contractor to come over there and do it for it. Yeah, so.
All right, Jim. Let us know.
Guys, appreciate your show and your knowledge.
Yeah, all right.
That was some good brainstorming.
Thank you.
Back,
yeah,
and forth.
It's good to
we
hear.
Came up with several ideas.
Yeah,
and,
the price,
and,
other
Joe had,
little,
and Joe had some
I'll,
good ideas.
Go ahead.
I'll follow up when I get her done.
All right. Thank you. I'll be very interested to hear what you come up with. All right. By the way, we still have like another 15 minutes before the show is out of here and an opportunity for you to call in. 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on the air here to help you out with Cal Carson and Ed Riddell in studio. Cal, you're about to be gone for the rest of the month, I think.
Well, I'll be going down to Atlanta to do my skating thing that I do every year down there. It's Skate Atlanta, which is a big four-day competition that we do. And then I'll be back I actually have MC for a theater group. We're having our award ceremony that Saturday. And then I go to Grand Rapids, that wonderful place, and do another skating competition there. But, you know, I just wanted to talk about one other thing from Worldwide Developers Conference, and that's the thing with Siri. And
oh,
we could
yes.
chat a little bit more about that.
We'll
too.
Get to that after the break, and we do have a caller coming in. And by the way, room for a couple of calls here at 800-859-0957. Back in just a moment with the Internet Advisor. Thank you once again to Daniel Mason, who has been our engineer and producer. Thanks, Daniel. Great job again, of course. And that's the friendly voice that answers the phone at 800-859-0957. Russ from West Bloomfield, be with you in just a moment. Cal, before we went to the break, you were talking about one of the things you're looking at.
Oh, I'm looking forward to
to coming up at
the one rumor that I'm looking forward most of all from the WWDC is the thing about the Siri box that's supposed to be coming out. That's supposed to be competitive with the Amazon Echo and the
right.
Home box for Google. And
it's going to compete against. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
it's going to be in the same class.
Oh yeah, cool.
The difference, the rumored difference, is it's going to have a camera in it where it will watch who's talking and that sort of thing as well. And
but it won't have a screen.
No, it won't have a screen.
But Amazon is the one that does have the screen.
Yes.
Do they have a camera on that as well?
I do not know.
Should check that out.
I've got an Echo at home right now. In a box.
Oh, you do.
And I'm just looking at it. It's in a box. I never wanted to.
It's in a box.
You know, for some reason or another, I'm a little bit, I'm part of the old school paranoid, figuring if I plug this thing in, it's constantly listening to what's going on in my house, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody to know that I really do like blue cheese with peanut butter on a cracker. But, you know, you never know. You never know. But I'm looking forward to that product if it gets announced.
And on that tasty note, let's move on to Russ from West Bloomfield. Hi, Russ. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I was calling to see if you have any advice on the best kind of or best way to find to use or to take something like a newspaper article or a paper of some kind or a letter or something like that and convert it from text to voice so that I could then listen to it on my phone or through my car speakers, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When I'm not doing anything else, you know.
Okay, so you want to take a print article. It could be anything from a PDF to an article in a newspaper, et cetera. You want to record that and then convert it from a text
or a photo or whatever
it may be to convert that to an audio file, right?
Yes, so I could listen to it, you know, when I'm driving back and forth home or wherever.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Exercising or something like that.
Boy, any thoughts, guys?
I've heard that is possible.
Oh, yes,
it's possible, but it's usually two or three steps, and I don't know of a single app that does it. My son said, Dad, I have these textbooks that, you know, when you go to college and you have the option of receiving the stuff in PDF format, right? Mm-hmm. So you pay $80 for a file instead of an actual textbook. And he goes, I'd be really nice when I'm driving back and forth to Grand Rapids to listen to those. And, but that's taking an electronic document and then going to audio.
God, Cal, you were just talking about doing this with the Mac there, highlighting, and in it's machine language, and it will read it. In other words.
Well, here's the first trick, though. You'd have to have the document in a editable text format to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then once
can't you just convert the document to a PDF and make it editable with, you know, if you have, like, you know, the software to do that?
Yeah, it's a several-step process. First, you have to scan it or take a photo of it, convert it to text, and then edit it for errors. And by that time, you've already read it. And then you're going to have it.
Depends on the length of it. You know, you're right.
But, yeah.
You'd pretty much have to do something like, I know, matter of fact, you know something? Google can do that.
Really? You just take a picture with Google goggles and it'll read it to you?
Actually, I don't know if you can read. I don't know how you get it into. I know you can take. There's an app in Google that you can download. It's free, and it will read text for you. But you have to first, like you said, scan it, PDF it, make it editable, and then it'll be readable by that.
And I'm sure there's an application that someone's created where you just take your phone, you take a picture of an article on the paper and highlight the paragraphs, or it'll do it automatically for you, and then it'll read it to you. But I haven't found one yet because I'm not willing to pay for that.
Or better yet, what is the source of this documentation that you want to have audible?
Well, it doesn't any particular source.
Yeah,
but I don't have a lot of difficulty converting documents to PDF and then making them editable. You just have Adobe.
Listen, here's a couple things that I found just kind of quickly, and I want to make sure we can get to answering your question, and then Jeremy, who's out in Shelby Township. But anyway, I Googled this, and essentially what I put in was Google Screen Reader, and I came up with ChromeVox, which essentially is, it says it brings the speed and versatility and security of Chrome to visually impaired users. So that's one thing that's out there.
Well, yeah, but you have to. It has to be on a website. So, I mean, if you have the text in electronic format, it'll read it to you. That's
what
it's saying.
The motivation for something like this is, like, if I want to study something and it's technical or difficult, and I want to listen to it two or three or four times to make sure I understand it well. That's probably what your son was doing.
What type of phone would you be using to do this? Would it be Android or would it be?
I have an iPhone.
iPhone 5,
yeah.
Okay, because I see there's a. There's something called VBooks PDF Voice Reader on the App Store for the iPhone that you'd probably use.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. PDF Reader, you said?
It's called V as in Victor, B-O-O-K, Z as in Zorro.
So like voice book, basically, VBook.
Yeah. It's called VBooks PDF Voice Reader.
Okay. See, and that's the thing. So many sources come in so many different, is it a HTML? Is it PDF?
PDF.
Oh, it is. Oh, so you already have it in PDF format.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in PDF, I'll
he's going to convert it.
Oh, sure. Gotcha.
Well,
that's half the battle.
Adobe.
He's going to scan it and use Adobe Acrobat Pro to convert it to a PDF. So look that up. It looks like that might work for you. And are you ready for this?
Okay.
It's free.
Okay. Oh, wow. That sounds good.
Yeah, that's the best news of all today.
Yeah.
Okay, Russ.
Okay.
Take it. Try it on. And again, drop us a line and let us know how that works for you, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. All right. Let's see if we can wrap things up here with Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome from Shelby Township. You got the last call. What can we do for you?
Hi. It's Ginny.
Oh, Ginny. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's
go ahead.
Okay. I was using my 8-year-old computer, and it was getting ready to die. So I went ahead and bit the bullet and bought a brand new Dell.
Okay.
It has it's an i5, and it's a good computer. They told me it has the solid state
hard drive. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And I tried to hook it up with my wireless, which the other one was on.
Okay.
And it is so slow. In fact, it is so slow that I ended up running a Earth Ethernet wire through my house just so I could use my computer.
Did that improve things?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's still slow.
Let me try this out for you. And because we're getting close to the end here, I want to see if I can get this out for you. My daughter and son-in-law just ran it. They ran into this with a new used computer that he got. It was so slow. I took it. I worked on it a little bit. Anyway, they found out that it was two antivirus programs competing. McAfee was locking horns with malware bytes. And as a result of those two things being on there, it was slowing things down terribly. So what he did was, now, what operating system are you running?
10.
Windows 10. What they did was they pulled Malwarebytes and McAfee both off. Just completely uninstall them, and boom, the internet's back and it's flying along from them. And they're depending on Windows Defender to protect them.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So you go into the control panel, or you can go into the search bar in the bottom left and type in programs and features, and then have it... scroll through the list.
So Windows Defender is sufficient?
Yeah. Windows Defender is, it's built in, and it's pretty good.
So actually you had three.
Yeah, exactly.
By taking the two away.
McAfee and Malwarebytes.
There you go.
So by taking the two away, you made it great again.
And by my, I can tell you this, my son-in-law just told me last night, Tim said it works wonderfully now, and the solution was pulling off those two pieces of software, and boom, you're done. All right?
Wow, that's awesome.
All right,
Thank
Jenny, I'm glad.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
I hope you rock the internet with that. Thanks so much for everybody being here with us.